Hello?
Oh, it's being recorded. So you're recording right now. Okay.
This is for the 5 o'clock call, right?
Can they hear you?
Yes, I think so. Okay, I stopped the recording for a minute.
I think they started it for you because they're doing the audio. So, but we need to sync it too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now it's on again. They turned it on.
Okay. So if you want, see that record button above the phone, the SIP, you hit the recording, and that, again, you'll go through the steps to do a recording.
Okay, great. So now I have to dial into the speaker section, right?
Yes, for the speaker part, right. So I have to get off the phone with you. But I wanted to show you that SIP settings, and I'm going to call and make sure you're okay. So we're going to work with you on the connection part. We're going to drop the number down because your 600 aren't going to have to dial in because they're going to be on the web. So we're going to work with you on that.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to get killed on this. Okay, I'll let you go.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Victoria Kitchion. I'm the chair of the National Indian Health Board. The purpose of today's call and Tribal Caucus is to seek input from all of you elected tribal leaders on the tribal study funding set aside in the third COVID-19 legislative package. Before we begin, I'd like to open us up with a short prayer. Mawana, Creator God, we thank you for this beautiful day on your creation. Lord, we thank you for the grace and the mercy that you've allowed us to be with us, be here with you today, and to serve you, Lord, and to serve our people. Lord, we ask that you give a special blessing for our tribes, our leadership, our country, and the whole world right now, Lord, dealing with this COVID-19 virus. Lord, we ask that you lay your hands on each of us so that we can be the stewards of your message and your work, Lord. We ask that you be with us this afternoon on this call so that we can come up with some decisions for Indian country to serve our communities, Lord, and to serve your children. Lord, we ask that you continue to be with all those doing the Lord's work and that are trying to make the best outcomes for our communities. Lord, we ask it for a special blessing for all those that may have been impacted directly by the COVID-19 coronavirus, Lord, and that you offer them healing and strength to be well. Lord, we ask that a special healing for the elders, especially, and our children. They're our future, Lord, and all those that have been called upon right now to do this responsive work to this virus. Lord, we know that you're with us, and we're forever grateful for everything that you do for us, Lord. We ask for all these continued blessings in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for that. Once again, as I mentioned, the purpose of today's call on the Tribal Caucus is to seek input from our elected leaders on the funding set aside in the third COVID package. The package passed by the House and Senate last week and was signed into law last Friday includes some certain set-asides from several U.S. Department of Health and Human Services operating divisions, and those include $125 million set-aside from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, $15 million set-aside from SAMHSA, and $15 million set-aside from HRSA. This call is open to tribal leaders, tribal advocates, tribal health directors, and tribal representatives, but we ask that elected tribal leaders be given the floor first and recognition of the protocol. Once elected tribal leaders have spoken, we will open the floor to others. Please note that this call is not for federal agency staff, nor is it for press. If you are either of those, please disconnect now. Our goal is on this call and to create space for discussion and to also gather perspectives to be heard so we can find a consensus and that we can present ourselves with a unified voice to the agencies. We have a very short time and we have a very important task at hand, and we would emphasize that consensus doesn't mean that everyone will emerge with what they want, but what we would feel that may be ideal. Consensus is coming up with a position that we can all agree on and that would serve us all well. We also believe that if we stay unified and strong, we'll get what we want from the agencies. With a fourth package pending a few weeks away, we must also recognize that there may be additional opportunities to address concerns that we might not be able to address right now. So please bear with us and through this conversation and the future conversations as we try to gather the input from the administration. But today we're going to talk about and concentrate on the third legislative package. In recognition of that these agencies are looking for input from the tribes and they'd like to send this money out very quickly, we'd like to also gather this input from each of our respective tribal leaders and understand that we all want you to be heard. We'll be hosting a tribal listening session with the CDC tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern. I hope you can join us there, and we'll be working to schedule a call with SAMHSA and HRSA for Wednesday. We hope this call is helpful for tribal leaders and will help us prepare for the continued calls with our federal partners. With that, I'd like to turn it over to the operator who can share the instructions for the call. Operator, will you please share the instructions?
If anyone would like to ask a question, please press star and then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Star 1 to ask a question.
Thank you for those instructions, operator. And now that we can get started, I'd like to turn the attention over to the CDC funding stream. That funding has a baseline of $125 million. Like we saw in the first COVID package, it is possible that the CDC may actually pass through additional funding above the $125 million. I will turn it over to NHB Director of Congressional Relations, Shervin Azambi, and he's going to share a little bit of information about the legislative text and the parameters that we should keep in mind given that legislative text. Shervin?
Thank you, Chairwoman. Good afternoon, tribal leaders, representatives, and officials. Thank you all so much for joining us this afternoon for this call. Just to share a little bit of information around how the legislative text is structured around the set-aside funding for Indian Country. As the chairwoman mentioned, the language in the law is very clear that the $125 million is a baseline minimum set-aside for tribes and tribal organizations, but it does say not less than $125 million. The funding through CDC, given the fact that CDC does not have the statutory framework and authority that the Indian Health Service does to deliver funds through tribal shares, through 638 contracts and compacts, the funding, the way it's outlined, is through either a grant or cooperative agreement mechanism. There is some flexibility in terms of how these awards may be made, such as the ability to perhaps establish a funding formula, but the language is pretty clear that it does need to be something within the realm of a grant or cooperative agreement. In terms of what the funds may be used for, there is quite a bit of flexibility. The funds are available for surveillance, epidemiology, laboratory capacity, infection control, mitigation, communications, and other preparedness and response activities. In addition to that, there is also flexibility to be able to utilize the funds to rent, lease, purchase, acquire, or construct non-federally owned facilities to improve preparedness and response capabilities. So, for instance, being able to purchase a unit for quarantine or isolation purposes or things of that nature, those are built into what these funds may be used for. And as the chairwoman said, there definitely is an urgency to get the funding out the door pretty quickly. But I will say that, unfortunately, because the funding is going through CDC and CDC does not have the statutory mechanism to deliver funds through tribal shares, the mechanism at play that's available is through either a grant or a cooperative agreement. Thank you, Chairwoman.
Thank you, Shervin. I would like to open the floor to comments from tribal leaders so that we can talk about the preferred mechanism for distribution, any formulas for distribution we might recommend, and any concerns or strengths you see in a particular path forward. Operator, please open it up to our tribal leaders.
Byron Larson has a question or comment. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair, and also the other people on the phone. I'm talking on behalf of my status as the CDC Tribal Advisory Committee member that sits on the CDC TAC. On March 25th, we had a discussion with Commander Clellan with the CDC, and he stated that the COVID-1 resources were distributed from a methodology that was based upon IHS population statistics as well as service area statistics and specific tribal population statistics, both for 1802, which is $10 million, as well as the total of $70 million that has been given to the tribes under non-competitive awards and through 1803. The problem with that is that the breakout, if you average that, it comes up to, for tribes, for the $70 million, $121,951 versus $195,122 under 1802 for urbans. And so my question is that if it's population-based, is this also going to apply to the $125 million that is currently under consideration? Also, during that time frame, we had specifically asked Commander Clellan why the Tribal Advisory Committee for the CDC was not consulted, because we would not have suggested that we use population-based statistics. We specifically have a Rocky Mountain Tribal Leaders Council resolution that specifically states that the Rocky Mountain Tribal Leaders Council requests the Montana congressional delegation request all funds distributed to Indian Country through any branch under authority of the Secretary of HHS, including but not limited to SAMHSA, CDC, NIH, OMH, follow existing Indian Health Service budget methodology based on prior enacted legislation. So we would prefer that if possible. And we're understanding that, of course, there are requirements in the statute, as previously mentioned, that it has to go through existing cooperative agreements. Under 1803, because that cooperative agreement is actually available to all the tribes, that we're recommending for our area that, you know, the areas be given the opportunity to ensure that as much of the $30 million that's scheduled under 1803 go directly to tribes, and then also, of course, the non-competitive awards be disseminated to the tribes in some fashion that's models after the Indian Health Service budget methodology. The reason of that is that the Indian Health Service and the 574 nations, as well as urban programs, have used that methodology on a regional basis, on a national basis, for 30 to 40 years. And that's the most fair and the most expeditious way to actually disseminate the resources. With that, that's my question and statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Byron, for that. Once again, we're wanting to hear from tribal leaders first. So if you're a tribal leader, please submit your question on your time. We will have time for technical advisors on the second portion of the call.
To ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and you'll have to press it again after we get your name, if you hit star 1 again after we get your name. Thank you. We have a question or comment from the line of Aaron Payment. Go ahead, please.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, first of all, wonderful job, Tori, so far, and all the tribal leaders that have been advocating for our people. It means so much to me personally, so thank you very much. Our question is kind of limited in what our response can be because CDC is not the preferred route, and it doesn't allow for what I otherwise would advocate, which is self-governance distribution to allow tribes maximum flexibility to cater to their specific needs. Having said that, my recommendation would be for within the confines of CDC to be able to come up with a formula amount and to even come up with a couple of templates to make it easy for tribes to apply. And it might be based on a couple of categories of if you fit this category, you know, you can accept this amount or whatever. But we need not to get wrapped up in the bureaucracy that will inhibit the smaller tribes and the tribes that don't have the capacity and the resources for competitive grant writing to get in the queue. And so whatever recommendation we can come up with that maximizes our flexibility to be able to adapt the money to our individual use and to push the administration to get the money out as quickly as possible is what I'm all for. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Payment. Operator, do we have another leader in line?
The next question comes from the line of Chairwoman Sherrill. Go ahead, please.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much for hosting this call and for this information. I just wanted to reiterate, you know, some of the statements that have been made. I think it's critically important that we have a base amount formula-driven for all tribes. No tribe is more important or no tribe citizens are more important than the others. And I think it's critical, similar to the way that SAMHSA funds were disseminated quickly, that we were able to get at least some base funding for all tribes. The other thing I wanted to find out, when we're talking about a cooperative agreement, Is there the ability to create a new cooperative agreement directly between CDC and an individual tribe, the same way as other federal agencies were entering into a self-governance type of arrangement and agreement with tribes directly? Because I think that that, too, might be an opportunity for us to be able to get around any of the block granting initiatives that go on, particularly if it goes through states. But I do realize that they do have a cooperative agreement with the Indian Health Services. So at last resort, goes from CDC to the IHS to the tribes. But I think it should be on an established way of getting our allocations with something for all tribes, because the smaller tribes are disadvantaged because we don't have the bandwidth. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairwoman Andrews. Chairwoman, yes. Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Warren Hawk. Go ahead, please.
Hello, this is Warren Hawk from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. I'm a tribal council person, and I would just like to concur with the first two calls where, you know, a small tribe, competitive funding would be, in essence, detrimental to us because we don't have the capacity to compete with other tribes sometimes, and that's true with all funding. But that also is concerning that because of the situation that we're in, that we consider that some of these smaller tribes really need those extra dollar. And that's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Hawk.
Jessica Rodolfo has the next question. Go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Jessica Rodolfo. I am from the White Mountain Apache Tribe and speaking on behalf of the tribal chairwoman who was not able to get in on this phone call to the phone line or through Zoom. But I would like to reiterate what everyone else in has said at this point, that the funding that we get for tribe, we should not be made to compete against each other. Some of the tribes who have grant writers and some of the tribes who have resources, if we do have to compete and they're the ones that are getting the funding, then programs like ours, who don't have grant writers, then we'll suffer. We do have a tribe of 15,000 tribal members, and this being the third way we are able to receive funding, like the funding that came out that's due tomorrow, it had one week and only 9 awards. I just absolutely did not agree with that, and I don't think that this funding should be distributed that way as well. That's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Adolfo.
The next question comes from Aaron Payment.
No, that was from before. I'm sorry. I didn't know how to disconnect.
All right. I'll release you. Thank you. I don't have the name of 127.
They can introduce themselves when they're live on the phone.
The operator is getting their name. Just one moment, please. Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press *1 and an operator will access your line and get your name. Once you've given your name, you have to hit *1 again. And we do have a question from Governor Max. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you so much for this teleconference. I really appreciate it. I'm the governor from a pueblo of Isleta in New Mexico, and I've been listening to all the other concerns throughout the Indian country. And, yes, so we need more information on this, and if it's a limited amount, some tribes, like the statement was, they won't have people to write grants, and they're not getting this information. And we need to get all this information out to all the tribes. And it shouldn't be a competitive thing where the first one gets the larger amount or anything like that, you know, because we don't know how each tribe is suffering. And so I wish all the tribes would be on this teleconference, and that way they could get all the information. And that's what I'm requesting, all the information I can get from you. And so we can expedite it. We're right now in an emergency situation, and we need as much resources as we can, and to help our communities and all of the Native tribes throughout the country. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Mack.
Your next question or comment comes from the line of Roger Trudell. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon. This is Roger Trudell, and, you know, thank you for, you know, the information and the commitment to keep the tribes informed. Being one of the smaller tribes, you know, we definitely support that all tribes, you know, should at least have a base amount, and population, you know, can be adjusted just like in previous grants that, you know, that have been available over the years. So we support that all tribes be able to share in these opportunities, as we all have the same problem, and we will all face the same problem for a time coming. So thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Fidel.
If the operator has gotten your name, you may press star 1 to come back in queue. We have a question from the line of Ramona Anton. Go ahead, Ramona.
Good afternoon, everyone, and respectfully greetings to the tribal leaders. My name is Ramona, and I work with the Navajo Epidemiology Center here at the Navajo Nation. We do have a health command operations center that is in full operations at this time. And I just wanted to say that I know that the formula of funding of distribution is of discussion at this time. I do want to share that we have reported out that over 100 COVID positive cases here on the nation, as well as fatalities. We are in a crisis here at the Navajo Nation, and we're working to reach out to all levels of government to assist. And we have a population of over 247 user pots for IHS, and then we have, according to the 2010 census, we have over 300,000 members to the nation. So with your consideration and formula building in terms of funding, please know that also there's tribes that have not had COVID positive confirmed cases on their tribe and nation. And I continue to hope that for your and pray for that for your communities. But also, there are tribes that are already dealing with this and in full response mode, and then we're going to have to look for recovery. As you know, this is a long-term illness, a long-term virus, and we do not understand how it's going to fully play out. But we anticipate over a year to 2 years that we'll work towards recovery. We are meeting surge capacities at many of our facilities across the nation, and we're continuing to do our best in terms of shelter in place, et cetera. But I just wanted to share that with our sister nations that this is the outlook of the nation, Navajo Nation, at this time. And we just wanted to share that in terms of the formula building. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ramona. Our prayers are continued with Navajo Nation as well.
If the operator has gotten your name, please press star 1 again to come back in queue. The next question comes from the line of Diana. Go ahead, please.
Hi, yes, Diana Fuller. I'm here with Alfred LaPaz with the Mescalero Apache Tribe. He's one of our council members. I'll defer to him.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. And my name is Alfred LaPaz. And my concern is I wish I could have got more of this information earlier prior to this call. But I just wanted to say if it's a population-based, we're the southernmost tribe in the state of New Mexico, Mescalero Apache tribe. And we're surrounded by cities, El Paso, Texas, Las Cruces, New Mexico, and other cities around us. And we have a population of just a little bit over 5,000. But because of the other non-member tribal members that come visit our facility, which is not that big, it increases up to almost 2,000. 2,000 to our population. And if that's what kind of concerns me, if it's population-based, it increases by almost 2,000 people. So that was what I was asking about. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Chairwoman Sherrill has the next question. Go ahead, please.
Hi, and I'm so glad we have another chance at it. I just wanted to say that since we're hearing almost the same expectations or the same requests that, you know, a fair formula funding and base for all tribes, what can we expect since we are hearing that with regard to, you know, when this consultation is over? And I guess specifically, can the CDC use their existing cooperative agreement with the Indian Health Services to be able to get the funding to the tribes using a base formula a base amount plus our formulas as we currently receive from Indian Health Service?
Thank you, Cheryl.
There's a question or comment from the line of Davey Malley. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Davey Malley from the Pueblo Acoma here in New Mexico. Thank you, Cheryl, for your comment. I do agree with you. Here at the Pueblo of Acoma, we have Acoma Canyoncito Laguna Hospital, and that particular hospital serves at least four major communities here in our area, and I think the contribution or formulation from the CDC should go towards the IHS facilities, especially in the rural communities where there is limited access to health facilities, and it will play a major part in all the rural communities that are here to receive that help. And that would be our comment here from the Pueblo of Acoma, and I thank you for this conference call.
Thank you for your comment, sir.
Kathy Arcaro has the next question or comment. Go ahead, please. Kathy Arcaro? If anyone else has a question, you may press star and then the number one on your telephone keypad. The operator will access your line, get your name, and then you can press star one again. Thank you.
Operator, if we don't have any more tribal leaders that wish to speak, I would like to open it up to some of our technical advisors or technical experts that would like to make a comment or question.
There is one more question from the tribal leaders, I believe, but the operator is accessing his line.
Thank you.
There's a question from the line of Melanie. Go ahead, Melanie.
Hello, everyone. Melanie Forkiller, Choctaw Nation. I just wanted to quickly comment on the CDC, and this would probably apply to the SAMHSA and perhaps other funds from other agencies. We agree on behalf of Choctaw Nation that non-competitive is the most expeditious way to go, as well as reaching more tribal communities and sites than a competitive process would be. The other thing is utilizing existing funding mechanisms. So our first preference would be an interagency transfer to IHS where funds can be allocated very quickly. If we're not able to do that, then our second preference would be using funding mechanisms that already exist within the agency. So for example, tribes are applying for the $40 million from COVID, you know, the COVID-1 stimulus fund with CDC. So they get a grant, a non-competitive grant in place to use that non-competitive existing grant to just add a supplement to that, as opposed to creating another grant process and requiring tribes to apply again, even for a non-competitive grant, because it can be so burdensome. And we're all struggling and working so hard right now at this time to get resources to our communities. So I would say it's probably the same for SAMHSA and others. First preference being let's move it to the most expeditious method of payment, but barring that, let's try to seek existing grants that are non-competitive that are out there that can be used as a funding mechanism. So thank you for your opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Melanie.
The next question comes from the line of Cassandra Sellers-Reck. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Cassandra Sellers-Reck. I'm a tribal council member for the Cowlitz Indian Tribe, and I'd like to make comment about funding. We also believe that the most direct, quick way for the tribes is non-competitive grant. We would always prefer a direct method for the tribes, just because that seems to be how the tribes are moving, and it seems much more respectful of their sovereignty. My question, I guess, comment is really coming from a nursing perspective. When it comes to PPE, I'd like to know kind of what IHS's obligation is to share and make sure and ensure that tribal members are and tribal clinics are getting the protective equipment that they've needed. I wanted to bring out, I guess, I'm a critical care nurse in a big metropolitan hospital in the Portland area, and the first guideline for taking care of these patients were PAPRs and shields, where 99.9 whatever amount of particles could stay out, because all of this is airborne. It comes out of our mouth and it sets on a surface. They said they're finding this bug on these cruise ships 17 days later. So then when PAPRs have almost run out in the United States, they say they're dropping the standard. The next standard down is an N95. So now we know N95s allow for 90-some percent protection. And those are running slim. And we know that the defense contracts have been made and other things to help stimulate that. For a virus that was never a part of our people, it's almost like trauma to us again, that here is a bug that comes from somewhere else that's ravaging our communities, not only our tribal communities, but the public health system altogether. So we have these N95s. Our tribal communities need them. It was brought to me by our policy analyst, Sarah Sullivan, who's amazing at Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board, that one of our Idaho tribes doesn't have the things that it needs. The Idaho IHS has them. However, we need to know if there's sharing happening. We need to know how IHS is serving our communities, be it if it's a direct service, a non-direct, how can that collaboration happen? And we need it almost immediately, not later. And we know that IHS and many of our tribes have been doing, you know, disaster planning, not to this level, of course, but we have these somewhat networks in place. I'd like to really see some more communication and collaboration with our tribes to say, what do you need? How can you conserve? We know that N95 mask used to be a one-time use only, and then healthcare workers were asked to throw them away for our safety. Now we're using them days on end and doing some other strategies. And so really there needs to be an ownership and a fast movement within Indian Health Services to maintain their relevancy in this pandemic of being true collaborative community partners with us at the grassroots level. And that means working past 5 p.m., calling tribes, and let's get a network going so that we can have the necessary things, even if they're used more than one time or whatever, so that our people can stay safe. And so our communities, especially our most prized individuals, those are the ones who are at risk. That's why this, I really appreciated every meeting being started with a prayer, because that's what's going to really get this, is our medicine, our prayers, and connecting to the spirit. But I really have a call for IHS to be our partners, and not excuses, but be our partners and stay up with us late at night, just like all of us are, trying to solve things and make them better in our community. So that's what I would have to say. And I thank you for this time, and I thank you for all the collaboration and bringing our communities together so that we can really fight this bug internally and, you know, keep the trauma and keep the hurt out of our communities. I call for IHS to find quicker ways to get our communities the funding that they need. So thank you so much.
Thank you for that comment.
If the operator has gotten your name, please press star 1 again. Thank you.
Can anybody hear me?
There's a question from the line of Nicholas Lewis. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Hello, Councilman Lewis. Yes, we can hear you.
Hey, I just want to thank everyone for taking the time to raise their points and concerns. One of the things I would ask, and I didn't hear it before, a lot of tribes are taking this on their own and spending their own hard dollars. So one thing I would ask that there be consideration and language for allowing reimbursements to go back to the very beginning of when tribes had to invest their own resources, which are often scarce, to fight this pandemic, because here in Lummi, we have 16 confirmed cases in a small community, and we have the belief that we can't count on the county, the states, the feds. We've been having ongoing discussions with IHS, with the state, and the county, and we're under the impression that we have to do it on our own in providing care, or the best care for our community. So when funding becomes available, I hope that it can go back to when tribes start preparing their own community for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Lewis.
The operator has gotten your name. Please press star 1 again. And Jim has the next question or comment. Go ahead, please.
Greetings, everybody, and prayers. My prayers go out to all the tribes and those suffering right now. But my question and my what I want to say is, you know, you need to really think about all the tribes that have gone non-essential and essential. We only have a skeleton crew. We're in Shoban, and, you know, nobody's prepared for this. Nobody knew this was coming. And so we're placed in a dilemma where, you know, we have very few masks and PPE, whatnot. So, you know, we're like other tribes. We only have like a few of us to write grants and do all this stuff. So I ask that you make this as easy as possible because we're stretched. And I think, you know, giving is really important at this emergency situation. I mean, you should be looking at ways to get the tribes the money as little writing as possible, because that's how thin we're stretched right now. We're just totally stretched, and we're trying to do what we can with what we have. So I just wanted to add that comment. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that comment.
If the operator has gotten your name, please press star 1 again, and I'll access your line. If anyone else has a question, they may press star 1, and the operator will get your name. We have a question on the line from Barry Bernard. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I want to know, when the IH money comes in, does it come direct to the tribes during this emergency, or go through their affiliate, like, say, the California Urban Indian Health Board? Because CRIB, as they're known, usually takes an admin fee out of the money that is dedicated to the tribe. And so we won't receive the amount of money we need to receive to open a field hospital. Equipped field hospital. Does anybody have an answer for that?
Thank you for the question, and we will make sure that we get responses to the questions.
The next question comes from the line of Amy Perrin. Go ahead, please.
Hello there. Yes, this is Director Amy Perrin, and I'm reporting on behalf of the Bay Mills Indian community. I was asked to join this conference by Chairman Brian Newland and our grant writer, Rachel Burt, who is also an elected official, is on this call as well. And so from our standpoint, we've been hearing a lot from the smaller tribes. We are also a small tribe located in Michigan, in a very rural area of Michigan. And it's our stance that we believe a set base amount for distribution to the tribes, a set base amount would be the fairest way to get help to the tribes across the board. The smaller tribes like us, we're taking a pretty hard hit here. I will follow up on the previous chairman. We agree we are invested in this and pulling from our own resources, which are slim. And the smaller tribes are at very high risk. They cannot afford this hit financially, and it's just getting worse. So any help that the government can send, we hope that it can come quickly and in the easy as possible. I agree with Chairman Paymont from the Sioux tribe that a template would be most helpful. Second question is, how will this information be reaching the tribes? Will there be instructions on how to write for these funds, and who will those instructions be coming from, and where will they be sent? Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Stacey Boland. May I comment?
Yes, please, Stacey, jump in.
Thank you. I just wanted to share some information. These questions are similar. The concerns are very similar, and that's very helpful. The purpose of tonight's call is to hear from the tribes how best this CDC funding could be reaching them. And I just want to let you know, in case you didn't, this is a tribal caucus. And tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern, we're having a listening session with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The gentleman who asked the question about a field hospital, a gentleman from California, that would be the time to ask that question, because the CDC are the people who either should have the answers or should be informed by your tribal voice that they need to figure that out. They need help knowing what you need, too. And to the caller from Bay Mills, again, the instructions for how to apply for funding and how to move funding out will be issued by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Today's call is to figure out what do we want to bring to them and say this is what the tribes want for this funding, how they want it to be used. That being said, these questions are questions that the CDC either should be able to answer or they need to hear them from you so they can figure out how to answer them in a way that helps your communities in this public health crisis. So please also put that call for 5 p.m. tomorrow Eastern on your calendars, and you can ask the CDC directly. Thank you. Miigwech.
Joseph Myler has the next call. Go ahead, please, or question.
Hi, this is Joseph Mireles. I'm the vice chair of Torres Martinez, and I sit on the board of directors for Riverside San Bernardino County Indian Health. We're a small tribe, and we're also, I want to mirror the comments made by another representative. We are on a skeleton crew right now, so writing grants and going through the competitive process isn't going to be the best route to receive the funding, and we're going to end up having some winners and losers if we go that route. So I think it'd be good to give out the funding as a baseline on the population-based methodology that we use for other funding that we get, so we can streamline the process to get them into the tribes. But the other thing is, there's a concern that if there's not enough PPE supplies to go to the healthcare centers, then all the money is not going to matter if we don't have the supplies needed to keep our staff on to provide services to our communities. Those are just the two comments that I have.
Thank you, Mr. Morales.
Lee Olson has the next question or comment. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Thank you. This is Lee Olson from South Central Foundation in Anchorage, Alaska. I want to echo some of the earlier comments. I think the most important things are to get the funding out as fast as possible and as easily as possible. The interagency transfer to IHS would be the preferred and fastest method, as was suggested by an earlier caller. If that isn't done or isn't possible, I guess the other key things would be the awards be non-competitive rather than competitive, that the eligibility be the same as it is for the $40 million. And key to that is that all tribal organizations that are carrying out programs under the Indian Self-Determination Act be eligible to apply. And as far as the distribution methodology, something that mirrors IHS, hospital and clinics recurring base or the tribal size adjustment formulas would be the easiest and fastest ways to get an equitable distribution. Those formulas take into account both, population size as well as remoteness and cost of care and cost differentials between different parts of the country. So those would be the easiest things to do and the quickest, and we don't want to get caught up in long debates over how money should be allocated. Money needs to get out as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Rosemarie Marrero has another question. Rosemarie, go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Rosemarie.
My vice chairman actually was just on the line right now, and he did actually touch base with what I would want to talk about, which was the PPE. If we didn't have the equipment in place to keep our staff safe, am I not talking?
No, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Someone just texted me. They couldn't hear me. Sorry. If we don't have that equipment in place, we're endangering the limited staff that we do have in the clinics that we have here in Southern California. And one of the other concerns that I do have is that the limited testing that we have here. As you know, as some of you may know, Riverside County is probably the second region that's the hardest hit here in California, and we have very limited supplies for testing for to make sure that our tribal members are safe in our community. And it's hard to put this stay-at-home order in place when our community members don't feel like they're sick. So if they're not feeling like they're sick, they're more inclined to go out. If we have the testing available to get anybody tested, then I think that we would be able to reduce the numbers of people infected. That was my only concern. Thank you.
Thank you for that comment.
Chairwoman Sherrill has a question or comment.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you, Stacy, for reminding us the purpose of the call for comments so that it provides a basis for tomorrow's call. I kind of got swept up in a couple of other things. But I guess what I wanted to do is make sure for comments that maximum flexibility is built into this distribution and to really allow for the secretary to use as much discretionary authority for waiving of any burdensome regulations or reporting that is absolutely possible. The other thing that I wanted to mention was we need to engage with the departments very closely in order to deliver on Congress's intent of this and ensure that the intent of Congress didn't get lost within the verbiage and does not get lost within the interpretation from the agencies to how the tribes want this money delivered to us quickly, fairly, equitably, and directly without competition or oversome burdens. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairwoman Andrews, for that comment, and thank you all the tribal leaders and technical experts for your discussion. I'd like to turn our attention to our next topic, HRSA and SAMHSA funding. Both agencies will have a baseline funding of $15 million. It is possible that they will be able to pass more funding through to tribes. I would also like to mention that SAMHSA created a formula for the tribal opioid response, also known as the TOR grant, and it's possible that they could use that same formula since it was already created. I'd like to recognize Shervin again so that he can share a little more information about that legislative text and the parameters that we should keep in mind given that legislative text to inform our discussion. Shervin?
Thank you, Chairwoman. Really quickly, starting with the Health Resources and Services Administration, HRSA, as the Chairwoman mentioned, it is a baseline minimum $15 million set aside. The language, again, says no less than $15 million. The funding is through the Rural Health Office over at HRSA and can be used for rural health care integration efforts, for telehealth, and for other kinds of service integration needs related to that effect. It's pretty broad in the way the language is written. Again, the money would flow through the Rural Health Office over at HRSA and can be used for healthcare integration, for health outreach and resource development, and for telehealth services as well.
Thank you, Shervin, for that information to inform our discussion. I would like to open the floor up to our tribal leaders first, and we'd like to hear on how you would like the SAMHSA and HRSA funds administered. We heard from the last portion that many of us do not want grants. We want it to be simple and equitable. We want it to be user-friendly, and we want to be able to quickly access those funds. So, Operator, will you please open it up to our tribal leaders first?
We We have a question or comment from Aaron Payment. Go ahead, please.
Hello. This one I'm well prepared for. I serve on the SAMHSA Tribal Advisory, as do a number of people that are on the call right now. So we had a call yesterday, and here's what I contributed. That the funds should be distributed based on a formula rather than a competitive grant. That theme should be pretty obvious by now to federal agencies. And if we use the opiate response funds that were distributed over the last two cycles, we recognize that there's a number of tribes who didn't participate for whatever reason. Back then, I suggested that we create a template that pushes money out and then allows maximum use of it. And so what I would suggest is that we go back around under SAMHSA and fill that gap that was never filled previously. And the reason for that, how it affects what we're talking about right now, is that we don't dilute any of the available funds that are coming down new. Then what I would suggest is that we allow for maximum autonomy for tribes and add these funds, if it's interagency transfer or however we need to do it, to the annual funding agreements that tribes already have in place, and then to lax the criteria for use of it. Sometimes the funding that comes from opiate response is very restrictive, and right now tribes need maximum flexibility. And then the final thing would be, I think the greatest need, and I'm from a family of addicts and people who are addicted and also people who have addictions to the opiate response, is often their lifestyle is such that they end up wearing on the last nerve, and then they get kicked out and they end up homeless. And the last thing we need is for people who might be infected or are not affected but have to go because they're homeless to go into another environment, and in doing so they can't keep themselves safe. And so maximum flexibility with any of the dollars, SAMHSA dollars, to be able for tribes to be able to contract with local empty hotels to be able to house tribal members who need it that are struggling with addiction.
Thank you, Chairman Payment.
Nicholas Lewis has the next question. Go ahead, please.
This is Nicholas Lewis from Portland area. I'm also on the SAMHSA Advisory Committee, and I just want to echo everything that Aaron Payment mentioned. One of the things I would ask, I think tribal leaders have consistently said a lot of the same things, whatever committee conversations we're having, but the federal government doesn't seem to listen very well to tribal leaders and our advisory committees when we're giving recommendations. One of the things I would like to make sure that we push is a justification for why they're deciding what they're doing. I feel like we're all united in what we're saying, and I worry that they might not listen again. So I want to request justification and explanation of why they're choosing to do what they're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Councilman Payment. Excuse me, Councilman Lewis.
Chantel Green has a question or comment. Go ahead, please. Chantel.
Hello. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. We can hear you.
Okay. I had a question on, well, we've already stated the obvious for the methodology, and everybody has questions on the population base. We do have a team working on the information that we received, if it was going to go through funds for the CDC and the grant process. My question is, if we're going to go through that grant process and or working through the methodology for statistics and population base, but on the grant process, for us to be able to prep for that, with our team, that being non-competitive, how will that be determined and or prioritized? And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
If anyone else has a question or comment, please press star and then the number one on your telephone keypad. An operator will access your line and get your name, then press star 1 again.
Chairwoman Kitchion, this is Shervin with NIHB. May I provide one further comment regarding the SAMHSA funding?
Yes, please, Shervin.
Thank you so much. So one additional comment regarding the SAMHSA funding. As there is, based on the section of the law that the not less than $15 million set aside references, a lot of those flexibilities are built in. It references a certain section of the Public Health Service Act that talks about non-competitive grants, contracts, or cooperative agreements to allow entities to address emergency substance abuse or mental health needs within their communities. So just wanted to share that one reference that the way the law is written, it does talk about, you know, non-competitive grants and making sure there's flexibility built in to address emergency needs around substance use or mental health. Thank you.
And I would just add to that, but I think, and to build upon Councilman Lewis's comment, SAMHSA was the only agency that listened to the tribes for a brief moment with the TOR grants, but it wasn't ideal. There's many tribes that didn't respond to that because they weren't aware of it. And so we just have to keep making these same points so that they hear us loud and clear. So we'll take some more tribal leader comments, please.
If anyone has a question or comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Star 1. The next question or comment comes from the line of Monica Zehill. Go ahead, please.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. So I just had a couple of points. One, I would think it would be to use the IHS formulation for distribution. Two, I think it would be good that each tribe gets their funding directly with the contract, and the example I'll use is the CHR program. I am from Nambe Pueblo in New Mexico, and we do have direct contracts with IHS. Those contracts are one-time payments, and with a contract comes what are not allowable expenses, guidelines, and that there would only be an end-of-the-year report on how the money was spent, and also for us to be able to receive reimbursement for expenses since day one, since, like the other tribes, we have already expended funding for this in our community. Thank you.
There are no further questions in queue. If anyone has a question or comment, you can press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Ms. Zehill, did you have another question or comment?
No, sorry.
Oh,
I just
okay.
I didn't know if you had to press that to get out of it.
Okay, thank you. One moment. The next question comes from the line of Melanie. Go ahead, please.
Hello, everyone. I just wanted to inquire about the $1+ billion that is being allocated to the Indian Health Service. At what point are we going to talk about recommendations to IHS with regard to those funds?
Thank you for the question, Melanie. We'd like to open the floor up for additional technical advisor comments.
Madam Chair, may I respond?
Yes, please.
Thanks. That's the next thing what we need to be working on. And we will try to arrange a call with Admiral Wiaki to create the space for the tribes to be able to have that conversation with him. We'll try for Wednesday. I know that they have their big call on Thursday, but you don't necessarily get to engage in that kind of robust conversation at that time. Since we have CDC tomorrow, NIHB will try to arrange that call for Wednesday. Does this time work well for people, 5 p.m. Eastern? I guess that's a big question to ask a big group of people. You can just, if you're participating on the webinar, can respond that way. Just say, time works, time doesn't work. Just let us know. Thank you. McGwich.
Thank you, Stacey, and thank you for that suggestion to also do this for the IHS portion of the funding. Do we have any more technical advisors or tribal leaders that would like to make a comment?
I have Alida Montiel who has a question or comment. Go ahead, please.
Hi, everyone. This is Alida Montiel. I'm with the Intertribal Council of Arizona Health and Human Services Director, and I'm also thinking in regard to, I appreciate the information I'm getting from the National Indian Health Board. I was able to forward your information from Dominique this morning to all of the health directors in the Phoenix area, IHS region, and also urban. And I guess that's my question about the resources through HRSA and SAMHSA and CDC is, you know, how will, and I know you can't answer all these questions right now, but, you know, will, I guess if the mechanism is through Indian Health Service, there will be an opportunity for the urban Indian programs to acquire some of the resources. So that's one thing, but also I think about, you know, about half of the tribes in our region are direct service. So, and of course, more and more are becoming compact and contract, and they have some minimal contracts, like the individual said before, their CHR and their alcohol substance abuse programs, but that's about it for many of the tribes. A few other dollars are contracted, but that's the main resource for several tribes. So I'm thinking about, you know, how will we make those funds available if there isn't a compact or contract mechanism. And I, you know, just my heart goes out to a call we got from the Havasupai tribe, and I don't know if they got a chance to be on the call, but you know, I think an urgent a drop of supplies is needed, you know, at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, like today. It should have happened a few days ago. You know, how they get resources is by packing them in by helicopter or, you know, down the canyon trails. And so I'm thinking about, like, the tribes of the Fort McDermott tribe, you know, they're 3 or 4 hours away from the nearest urban center. And, you know, other tribes are in our region, like all of you, are in a similar situation. So that, you know, our small tribes, even our large tribes, you know, we get these cases and, you know, the health of our families are impacted. And, you know, it could, as we know, these devastations that could occur within small populations are huge. And so I'm just thinking about, you know, I appreciate a minute ago someone talked about tribal size adjustment, and some of those formulas that have worked in other distributions have worked well for us. We just have to put some thought behind how much would be the base funding and how the tribes could utilize funds, because HRSA and SAMHSA and CDC have different parameters. So how will a tribe be able to combine resources or think about how these different funding streams could be utilized to help restore and add to what they've already spent, but also where their preparedness teams determine they find the gaps. And so, and I'm wondering, that's my thought for the tribes. At this time, we at the Intertribal Council of Arizona and the Intertribal Council Tribal Epicenter are going to put some help assistance to the tribes that don't have grant writers. But we're all the same, in the same boat you guys are in. I'm hovered over my Surface Pro. you know, at home in my kitchen, you know, doing the work. And so we're kind of in the same scenario where we're not allowed to go into the office. It's just a very limited number, 4 or 5 people that can actually go into the office. But we're endeavoring or attempting to assist in grant writing from where we're at, and just try to assist the tribes in the best way that we can and answer their questions. I appreciate when you guys do send me an email. Not able to catch all the calls that are coming into the office. So I just wanted to give you that information. Thank you.
Thank you, Alita.
There's a question or comment from the line of Aaron Payman. Go.
Actually, it was a while ago, and I think Stacy expertly addressed it, Stacy Boland, who's a member of my tribe. But I think that earlier, sometime, maybe it was last week, in the interagency call, there was a lot of input given on how the dollars should be spent. But then somebody actually came up with the idea just on this call that we should have a focused call, and NIHB can help pull that together, and I think that's a great idea. So
thank you, Chairman Payment.
Ms. Montiel, did you have another question or comment?
No, I'm okay. I was just trying to get out of the queue.
Okay, I'll release you. You'll go back. Thank you.
Thanks.
If anyone else would like to ask a question, you may press star 1. An operator will access your line, take your name, and then press star 1 again. Thank you. We have a question or comment from the line of Ali DeFalto. Ali?
Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. My name is Ali Dizital, and I am the healthcare administrator for the Kalispell Tribe of Indians. And my question is around the HRSA and SAMHSA funding. And usually you have to have a rural health designation for getting funding out of the rural health office. For example, if you are a FQHC, a federally qualified health center, you cannot apply for rural health funding. And I wonder if that's going to be an issue with this minimum of $15 million. Thank you.
Thank you for your question.
There are no further questions in queue.
Chairwoman Kitchen, this is Sherman with NIHB. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to turn it back over if you guys had some closing comments or you wanted to, how we were going to respond to these questions.
If I may, I just wanted to address the most recent question regarding if a tribe is an FQHC, if there are any restrictions. Looking at the section of the law regarding the HRSA funding specifically, it does mention, you know, medically underserved populations and health professional shortage areas, HPSAs. And so tribes and tribal organizations are automatically designated as health professional shortage areas, known as auto HPSA. And so through that process, tribes are eligible for this funding, including tribal organizations. And that's the way that the language is also spelled out in the law as well. But if anyone has any further questions or wants to get into the details, happy to have those conversations.
Yes, and in some closing remarks, in some closing remarks, I just wanted to say, you know, these calls like this and this opportunity to meet together to really sort of try to galvanize what it is we're going to do tomorrow when we talk with CDC. And what we can do, our staff can aggregate the questions and comments that were received on this call. They're going to fall into maybe four or five categories. And the questions have been pretty consistent across the board. And then I don't know if we have a way to get that back out as talking points. It's how we would do it if we were in person to prepare for a consultation or a listening session. Jennifer, do we have the ability to communicate back with the folks who have participated on this call?
Yes. On the webinar portion, everyone's email, I believe, should have been captured when you came in.
Okay.
Where we can take requests for the information.
Yep. Well, I think that's how we're going to have to do that. Jennifer, how would we operationalize taking the request to make sure that we reach everyone?
I think that the best way might be to for them to email someone from NIHB.
Okay, and another thing we could do, what do you folks think about us sending the talking points to all the members of the tribal advisory committees, the CDC Tribal Advisory Committee, SAMHSA, HRSA, and then those who we know are on this call?
I think that's a good recommendation, Stacey. This is Tori, and we can reach as many that weren't on the call as well that serve on those bodies.
Yeah. We would reach out everyone on those bodies, whether they were on this call or not.
Excuse me, we did have another question to come in queue, if you'd like to take it.
Yes, please.
Okay, it comes from the line of Daniel Preston. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Daniel Preston, Thornton Autumn Legislative Council. Hello, everybody. Thank you for having this call. My question is, and I kind of know that you're kind of headed toward it, but as far as once you get all the comments, and what is the deadline? Because I know there's only a few tribal health organizations on the line, and to get a better comprehensive, feedback from everyone of how to go forward with the funding from the $15 million, the $70 million, all the funding, and to get a better, more comprehensive tally of it. When would that be?
Well, the consultation, it's not really consultation, but it's the closest we're going to get in order to turn this money around quickly with the CDC, with the tribes, is tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern. And we're trying to move quickly because the tribes need this money, and they need it to move out of those agencies, you know, in a much more expeditious way than happened with the $80 million on the first go-round, which nobody's even received yet, a dime of that. So we're trying to make it as quick as possible by putting these calls together so that tribes can weigh in with the agency and, you know, get their voices heard as quickly as possible.
Okay, thank you for that. Thank you, Stacey.
And one of my staff just informed me that there's a tribal consultation from 2 to 3 on Wednesday. This is not something I knew about. So, Carolyn or Shervin, if you have more information, could you speak up about it now, please?
Sure. Thanks, Stacey. Hi, everyone. So we just received the announcement that the Indian Health Service will be holding a consultation call on this, the $1 billion that was appropriated under the third COVID-19 package. It'll be held this Wednesday, April 1st, from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. And the dial-in and passcode information will be shared soon. But again, Wednesday, April 1st, from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern for the Indian Health Service consultation on the $1 billion appropriated under this third package.
There are two more questions in queue. The operator is getting their name. If the operator has gotten your name, please press star 1 again. Thank you. There's a question or comment from the line of Marilyn Bread. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I am from the Kiowa tribe, and I'm a District 3 legislator. I had a question concerning the expressions by the announcements of the president's task force that there have been some breakthroughs in medicine and cures in France. I just want to know, is the money that's being allocated to the tribes going to ramp up the Indian Health Service acquisition of some of those remedies or not? Or do we have to go after the grant monies and seek that kind of prescription for ourselves?
I think that is a question for the IHS consultation on Wednesday. That's not something that I've not heard folks talk about that yet. So I think when the director is on the phone, that would be the time to ask that question.
If the operator has gotten your name, please press star 1 again.
Hello, this is Dr. Vora from MASH.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you for the consultation call with the caucus. I appreciate it on behalf of the council. I just had one quick question, if you wouldn't mind sending out the CDC call information to all of us. That'll be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
There are no further
questions. We will send it out.
Well, I want to thank everybody for your time today. We may not have gotten to answer everyone's question, but please look for those emails and those talking points. We welcome your additional feedback. Please feel free to contact anybody on the NIHB staff. You can find their names and contact numbers on the NIHB website. Please consider joining us tomorrow for our virtual listening session with the CDC, where we will put some of these questions posed on this call to our federal partners at the CDC. And also please look for an announcement for the virtual listening session that's to be scheduled with SAMHSA and HRSA. Again, thank you all for your time, and thank you all for your leadership and the prayers that have been offered for the tribes throughout the country that are looking to keep our people well and safe and get through this pandemic. Have a good evening.
This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.